The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
Good morning, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Happy Friday, everybody. It is Friday, April 9th, 2021. This is the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTK The Ticket, online at WTKA.com. So a lot to get to here on the show, as we are broadcasting live here inside the MDEN studios. And Sam will join us briefly coming up on the show. We're going to have a check-in with our friends at Safe House. They have an event this weekend during Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So we're going to hear from them coming up at around 7:30. We'll have our recruiting roundup at around 7:45. Michigan men's soccer coach Shaka Daly at 8:05. They're about to embark on their postseason. They play tomorrow at 2 p.m. at UM Soccer Stadium against Michigan State in the Big Ten quarterfinals. We'll talk to our friend Matt Dejanovich at 8:50. And then, of course, Friday in the 9 o'clock hour, John U. Bacon. Now, a lot to get to this weekend. If you're a sports fan, maybe you watched some hockey last night. Two really close games in the Frozen Four. Pretty interesting. A little bit of passing interest in the Frozen Four when Michigan gets knocked out by the NCAA and COVID before it ever even starts. So it's a passing interest in it, but 2 one-goal games. One of them went to overtime. And now St. Cloud State and UMass go to the championship. If you had that in your pool ahead of time, I'm pretty sure you won already. And it's just one of those really, it's just strange. Anyway, that being said, a couple other things. Of course, yesterday was the first round of the Masters. Going to get to that in a moment. But how about a shout-out to Huron High School and their boys basketball team. They are now 20-0. They picked up a victory yesterday in the postseason in the, it was a Division I playoff in the MHSAA postseason. And their victory yesterday over Warren De La Salle was 55-39, so a nice comfortable victory in the state semifinal yesterday up at the Breslin Center. Tomorrow they play Ty Rogers and Grand Blanc in the championship game for the Division I state championship. That game is at 12:30 tomorrow. Waleed Samaha and the River Rats. I'm sure we'll talk about this a little bit with our favorite River Rat alum, John U. Bacon, coming up at 9:05. And we are hoping to see the first state basketball title for Huron High School. That'd be pretty cool. 20-0 right now and playing one more game in their season. So it's tomorrow versus Grand Blanc for the state championship. And I don't know, Sam, you got a preview on that one? Huron and Waleed and his guys against Ty Rogers and Grand Blanc?
Well, first, Waleed Samaha, I don't know if you listened this early. Waleed is an outstanding coach. An outstanding coach. And this is...
Should we also mention, Sam, he is a great partner of the Magic of Christmas and with our friend Debbie Williams-Hook. We should throw that in there, too.
Always has been. I think he's one of the hidden gems. Not just Huron, but high school basketball. Lucky to have Waleed Samaha. He's outstanding. And so that's number one. Number two, Ty Rogers. Ty Rogers is what Clark Kellogg calls a stat sheet stuffer, right? I mean, he's a guy that is going to do it all on the court. I think he had 19 and 12 yesterday. I mean, a dude that just checks all the boxes and is a top target for the University of Michigan. And the thing that I appreciate most about him is how he can get his offense within the flow of the game. I mean, as much as he is a go-to guy, a guy you give the ball and says, go get it. He can get his even off of when it comes to, he'll get a rebound and take it down in transition and finish that way or get a putback. You don't have to necessarily be force feeding him for him to go off, but he's going to affect the game in multiple ways. It's going to be an outstanding matchup because one thing you know about Waleed Samaha over the years, his teams are always really good defensively. And so it's going to be a challenge for a guy like Ty Rogers. This is why I mentioned that it doesn't have to just be give it to Ty Rogers and go off for him to get his. And that's going to make it a lot tougher to mitigate his impact on the game. Outstanding matchup and one that anxiously anticipating for multiple reasons. Like I said, like to see Waleed do well, but at the same time, Ty Rogers, he's from near hometown, and is a Michigan target, a Michigan recruit. And really, from an in-state perspective, I mean, he's like the guy. He's the guy for Michigan. So I keep my thing with him. Man, I know he likes Michigan. I know he loves Saadi. You know, really has connected more with Juwan over the last year and a half or so. And I just keep like, man, what is he waiting? Ira, what is he waiting for? What are you waiting for, dude? I mean, this is like, you know, the thing with Michigan that's happening, and you heard it with Phil Martelli on the Michigan Basketball Insider.
Michigan's hot, Sam.
Exactly. Exactly. They're hot. And it's, you know, they prioritized him. But it's one of those things that the longer he waits, the more opportunity there is for, you know, players from elsewhere to swoop in.
Yeah, people think spots are limited when football recruiting happens and you offer like a few players at one spot. Think about how limited spots are in basketball recruiting.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't put all your eggs in one basket, even if it's an in-state kid.
Yeah, and here's what you can't say is that Michigan has not prioritized the in-state guy. They absolutely have. I mean, they full force, both feet, Saadi and Juwan. I mean, it's like consistent. So it's not for lack of prioritization. You know, I just hope that, you know, from a personal fan standpoint, I hope that the timing works out, that they can keep one of the hometown guys home and have him go to Michigan. Time will tell. But
plus, you want anyone in the Flint area from the Flint area to stay as close to Ann Arbor in Ann Arbor as possible. I get it. We understand.
Come on, man. Absolutely. I was going to ask, hey, man, Bubba Watson wearing Jordans out there. Does that mean he's going to win it, Ira? Did you see his? Did you know they had Jordan cleats? Ira,
oh, yeah.
You have Jordan cleats?
I don't have them. No, see, the problem is, so the only ones that I've seen available to the public so far have generally a combination of red, black, and gray in them. I don't have any. Most of my clothes do not match red, black, and gray. If they had maize and blue Jordan golf shoes or white and blue Jordan golf shoes available to the public, I would probably already have them. I have pretty nice white and blue Nike ones. But if they had white and blue Jordan ones, I would probably get them. Their Jordan golf shoes they're around. The black ones are pretty sweet, but there's too much red trim on the bottom for what my golfing attire is. If it was just black and white for the shoes, I'd probably have them, Sam. Because they had them at U of M Golf Course, sold them a couple years ago. We had, when we were there for Rich Hewlett's golf outing. Sam, let me just tell you that I stared at them a long time. And I trust me, I thought long and hard, but they don't have Michigan colors yet, at least that I've seen available to the public. Although I will also say this to anybody in Michigan athletics, if you have contacts within the Nike and Jordan and they have maize and blue or white and blue Jordan golf shoes, I'm all about it. You want to make the Jordan 11s at the golf shoes? I'm all about it. You want to make the Jordan 1s and the golf shoes? I'm all about it. But anyone at U of M, if you have that connection and you can find them, I'm a 9, 9.5. Just send them my way.
Hey, man, I wouldn't notice that, right?
Bubba's shoes are, sweet. Right? As I was watching the day yesterday, and, you know, Masters articles will pop up on my phone on Twitter and whatnot. Yes, a few different things popped up about Bubba Watson wearing Jordans. And, yeah, because honestly, I am kind of curious about which gear different guys wear, especially when if they're not in Nike clothes, but they wear Nike shoes or whatever. I'm curious, just this is a branding thing, you know, just going back to my time studying, you know, branding and marketing and sports marketing. I'm curious how that kind of all plays out, because Bubba Watson's been a Ping guy for a long time. He had been an Oakley guy for a long time. I'm not sure if he's still an Oakley guy or not, but now you throw in these Jordan shoes. I don't know if he's a Jordan guy because I didn't see anything else Jordan, or if it's just a shoe thing, but regardless, the shoes are pretty cool. Not sure he's going to win. Not sure the shoes really matter, Spike Lee. Mars Blackman. But at the same time, you know, because I don't think it's got to be the shoes, but they are pretty sweet.
So he's wearing, you know, he's wearing a, and you wouldn't like these. He's wearing an Air Jordan 4, but they're green.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So the ones I've seen, there's another golfer, and I'm blanking on who it is, who has worn Jordan, and he had these white with navy blue trim Jordans. Just, I don't remember what line. It might have just been it's a golf shoe with the Jordan logo on it. And that was from a couple years ago, I want to say. I'm like, those were pretty cool, but I've never seen them for the public. And even those, the green ones, no chance in it. You know what? I'm wearing green shoes. I don't care if they're Jordan or not. I'm not wearing green shoes.
I mean, it's just a Masters thing, right? Don't you think?
Yeah, I'm assuming. Yeah, but so, Sam, I've been to Augusta a few times now, right? And I've picked up some gear. And if you've noticed anything about the gear I have, it's all blue and white. It's all maize and blue. They do some non-green traditional Masters colors things. So my hat, I have a white and blue hat. I have a different hat that's blue with the Masters colors. There's a hint of green in there, but it's just on the, you know, on the tiny logo. I have a long sleeve t-shirt up, navy blue with white coloring, you know, white lettering and trim. I make it a point to not buy anything in traditional Masters color except for the chair. You can't get the chairs in anything but the Masters green. But everything else, the flags thankfully are in maize. So like that's predominantly that color. That's the one thing that gets me about the Masters is there's so, and I'm not talking about the nature part of it. I'm talking about their imaging, right? All the signage or whatever. There is so much green. It's really painful on the eyes. There's no question about it. But it's like I look over it. So Sam, a quick aside. Sherry has convinced Grace that, you know, 10 or whatever years from now, we're going to be living in Florida. Grace and Sherry just got back from Florida, and Grace said to me, Daddy, is it going to be okay if you live in Florida? Because there's going to be green in your license plate. So you understand our mentality in our house. But I give a little bit of pass for a few small Masters things, but otherwise I find them in all alternate colors when I've been there because I will not wear it in the green. Same thing with your Jordan shoes. They got to find it in the right color combination, and then I'm all over it.
Well, look, for me, on the golf course, you know, as look, here, there are going to be some times where I have to be there. Look, it's going to you look good. Look, just look good. We'll never play well, so just look good.
So you're not Billy Ho. You're not Billy Ho.
Exactly. That's gonna be me. But okay, a little.
But you know, you said you can. They're not mutually exclusive. You can look good and play good at the same time. They're not mutually exclusive.
No.
Maybe they are for you. Maybe they are for you.
Some people can look good and play good. That won't be me. I'm just the time that you have to put just to be okay.
Do you want us to sign you up
for a lifetime?
Debbie's doing it's like an hour or 2 hours every Wednesday afternoon for 9 weeks in the afternoon, starting in late June. The girls' golf camp. Do you want me to sign you up with Grace with Debbie?
And the time. I don't have the time.
It's just maybe an hour or so every Wednesday for like 9 weeks in the summer, Sam.
I wish I could commit an hour every one day a week to something other than what I need to, which I've already made the commitment. You know, getting back into not the gym, but my guy Mark is putting together a workout plan until I can get back in the gym. Just waiting on that second vaccine shot.
Yeah, mid-May, Sam. You'll be 2 weeks after that second vaccine. Mid-May, which is your window, you'll be back ready to go.
We're getting there. But a little serious golf talk before we get to the break. What did you think of day one?
All right, so you got to give, you know, all credit to Justin Rose. He was 2 over, Sam, through 8 holes. And so you're like, all right, here's just another guy struggling along because Augusta was playing pretty tough yesterday. There's only, 12 players that are even under par. But Justin Rose, Sam, was 9 under in his last 11 holes. He had 7 birdies and an eagle in his last 11 holes and no bogeys. It was remarkable. He was making every putt. He was hitting every shot. But the round was really entertaining. You had a lot of guys that you know play well. A lot of names that you know play poorly. So you see, like, that balance. And one of the guys that I was really going to pay attention to yesterday was Jordan Spieth. And Sam, let me tell you what Jordan Spieth did yesterday. On number 9, he at that point in time was 1 under. So he was playing okay, right? He was 1 under through 8 holes. On the 9th hole, he hit the ball into the trees on the pine straw. And I even got my wife's attention because there was this narrow tunnel that he had to hook it through if he wanted to get it up the fairway and get a good and have a decent third shot. So that's what he does. He did what I would do, what you would do, what all of our friends would do if we were on the golf course. We would find that little narrow tunnel, and he went for it, Sam. And then he also did what I would do, which is he smacked the next tree in front of him square solid, and the ball went backwards. He ended up taking a triple bogey, but it was a remarkable second 9 for him, including an eagle on number 15, and he ended up shooting 1 under par in the round. And it's a sign of turning things around. It's like having halftime adjustments. He went into the turn on a triple bogey and somehow played really well in the back 9. That was a really entertaining first round. There were the wind and the humidity kept changing. I know it sounds like kind of like that's something important to pay attention to, right? So it just kept being different throughout the day. I'm curious how the guys that played well yesterday, in particular Justin Rose, because he's 4 shots ahead of everybody else. I'm curious how well he can replicate any of that again today. Because through 8 holes, he was 2 over, right? So is he more of that guy, or is he the guy that played the other, you know, 11 holes? And so we'll find out, or 10 holes. So we'll find out coming up, you know, today. And it'll be interesting to see how that goes, because if he plays really well again today, he's going to pull away. But here's the other interesting note, Sam, from yesterday, and we can move on from talking about the opening round. But Rose is at 7-under. Second place is at 3-under, right? There's a four-shot difference. So go four shots back from minus three to plus one. There are 29 total golfers that are plus one or better. Only three of them are 3-under or better. The other 26 are 2-under or 1-under. It just shows you the separation between 1 and 2 versus 2 and 29, right? The separation between 1 and 2 is the exact same as 2 and 29. It's a lot of golfers in that pack. You're going to see your champion come from in there. If Rose plays really well again today, he's probably going to be the guy. But I hope he comes back to the pack a little bit, create a nice little cluster of like 20 golfers that are all, you know, kind of within striking distance going into Saturday, going into tomorrow for moving day. Would be just a terrific setup for the weekend. And so we'll see how it goes today. But Rose plays, I think it's earlier today. I don't even know what time he tees off today. I didn't look at it yet, but he's But obviously, Justin Rose is the guy to watch today to see if he can double up what he did yesterday or do something close to it. Otherwise, there's a lot of golfers within that striking distance. As I said, plus one or better, 29 golfers that are going to be in that conversation to see who wins it. A lot of big-time names, a lot of guys that are, you know, names that you would recognize, like Jordan Spieth and others that are going to be in contention for this thing. Should make for a really good weekend unless Rose pulls away, but that's the other side. I have no problem watching a historical event. I saw Rory McIlroy win the U.S. Open by 1,000 shots down at a congressional bunch of years ago. When Tiger won it in 97, seeing a guy run away with it can be very entertaining to watch that history in the making. I'm just not sure Justin Rose has that in the bag to repeat that again, and I have a feeling some other guys are going to make this a really fun weekend.
So as we get to a break, I want to refresh your memory a little bit. NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament, right? A lot of controversy about the difference in accommodations for the men and the women in the tournament. I mean, the difference was most visible. What really drew the attention was when one of these student athletes took a shot of the weight room accommodation. I don't even want to call it a weight room.
Workout, Sam.
They call it a corner accommodation.
Workout area.
Yeah, the workout area versus the weight room for the men. Like there was a video pictures of the men. It was like this sprawling workout area
with cool lighting and the whole deal. Yeah, like lots of wall coverings and lighting, and it was not just what. Yeah, they went the extra mile on one side, and they went negative mileage on the other side.
Yeah, and so after those shortcomings were, the differences were made public, Mark Emmert committed to digging deep. We got to find out how we found ourselves in this position. Remember he said that? How we found ourselves in this position. Not how we put ourselves in this position. Not coming out and saying, really, this is not a low-level thing. This is, you have this kind of difference consistently. This is a policy issue. This is set by the higher-ups. But this was, for him, it was let's mitigate the PR damage and say, we are going to do this thorough investigation, and we're going to get to the bottom of this. They got the weight room accommodations, they got that taken care of, and it's going to be different from this point forward. Man, this guy can't get out of his own way, Ira. I'm going to tell you, some investigation he did, because already we see an example of how this investigation was just for show. It was just lip service. All it was, folks, and we will tell you, give you a glaring, shining example. What I'm talking
about.
Wait,
so lip service from the hair guy. I just got to get that in my mind.
I mean, but you would think that, there wouldn't be another example like now. Maybe next year or next season, but not now. I mean, the women's tournament just happened, Ira. You're going to have another very visible, glaring example of how you just don't really care as much as you try to say you do. in public, I mean, it's the care factor isn't really that high. And we will give you an example of what I'm talking about on the other side here of the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, the Ticket.